Morning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, book of 2 Thessalonians, page 1272 in your Scofield Bible, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, then 2 Thessalonians. We'll be beginning with verse 13, and we'll read through the end of the chapter, these five verses. Verse 16 is the text verse, and you'll take note of that. Once again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, page 1272. And as is our custom to do, let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. And these verses we'll read responsively. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, and continue reading, please, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And let's pray. What a blessed joy it is, dear Lord, to be here in our church. Thank you for the church family, thank you for your word, and thank you for our Sunday school classes. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for all that's been done already. And now we await thy word. Thank you for the preaching, for our preacher, and give our hearts attentiveness, our minds alertness in this hour. Please, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Startling statement made in our text a while ago. You don't have to turn to it. Let me read it for you again. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject everlasting consolation. I'm not sure exactly where to jump in. I've got so many things I want to say and not enough time to say it, but I want you to give me your hearing this morning. I think one of the sweetest statements in all the Bible, everlasting consolation. Our Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, as we once again think on things eternal, quieten us and give us attentiveness to the truth as it's brought from this place today, in Jesus' name, amen. A husband dies. We go by the funeral home. We speak words of consolation to the widow. We shake hands with the orphan children. And we perhaps may send a bouquet of flowers and maybe shake hands with the widow at the funeral. And maybe even a few will think of the widow on occasion later. But most of us have finished our consolation after the service is over. Maybe if we see them, we may still console them. But our consolation is at best brief and soon over. We start a death ministry. It's novel. That first Sunday morning, we find it hard to get our eyes off the interpreter. As we look at those people who did not hear the choir special a while ago, and you've never heard me preach a sermon, and you've never heard the sound of a whippoorwill or friendly Bob White, or the sound of a cricket at night this morning early. I got up and out front. The guard was in front of the house, and I heard the bird singing. And I said, you know, it'd be good this morning to get out where there's no sound of cars, no sound of trucks and sirens, and just listen to the bird sing for a while this morning. But those who live in a world of silence have never heard the sound of a bird. They've never heard anybody ever say, I love you. They've never heard the Messiah. They've never heard silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. They've never heard blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. They've never enjoyed the hallelujah chorus or the battle hymn of the Republic at public. And they, for a while, we sympathize with them. We look at them and say, oh, God bless them. But in a few weeks, it's all over. We come to church. We never think about their world of silence anymore. Our consolation is but brief. A child is ill. A report is given from the doctor. And the doctor says that child has Hodgkin's disease or some form of cancer. Our hearts are broken. We rush hastily to the parents and speak our words of consolation to them. And for a while we may weep a tear or two, or we may even feel a hurt in our heart just for a season. But after a while, it's all over. We somehow or other become immune to it. We see the boy. We see the parents. We have lost our consolation. It's just for a season. A new group of freshmen come into the college, and we hurt for them. We pause to think that they have said goodbye to home, parents, family, friends, church, hometown. But after a while, our consolation ends. Young lady's in an accident. She's crippled for life. She sits in a wheelchair every Sunday morning. She has no legs. She's here this morning. The first time we ever realized that she had no legs, our hearts bled for her. The first time we heard her story, it was moving. But now, so what? We see her all the time. Our consolation is but temporal. I love this passage. This little line that says, He offers us everlasting consolation. God will never stop His pity for one problem we used to have on earth. Now, I'm not talking this morning about God is always interested in the problems that you continue to have. I'm saying that if you ever had a problem, you will receive from God everlasting consolation for that problem. You see, God's attributes and deeds never end. Illustration. About 15 years ago, on a occasion, Dr. Myron Cederholm contacted me and asked if he could talk with me. Dr. Cederholm came to my office and said, Dr. Hyland, I'm thinking about starting a college in Watertown, Wisconsin. What do you think about it? Now, I took about an hour and counseled with Dr. Cederholm, and we gave some money, not a great deal of money, but we gave him, I'm guessing, a few thousand dollars to help him get started. Now, it's been 15 years or so since that college started. Dr. Cederholm, I've been there. I'll be there next month for my 15th consecutive year. I've spoken at Maranatha Week out in Lucerne, California for 14 or 15 consecutive years. Dr. Cederholm has introduced me. I dedicated the campus up there. I dedicated the gymnasium and most of their buildings. I guess Dr. Cederholm has introduced me 100 times. Every time Myron Cederholm introduces Dr. Jack Hyles, he always says something like this. I thank God for this dear brother. At a time in my life when I needed some encouragement, he gave it to me. I came to see Dr. Hyles and asked him
if he thought it was a good thing to start a college. Now, all I did, I gave him 1 hour of my life. He's never forgotten it. I get everlasting credit for one little deed 15 years ago. That's what this verse is talking about. God says that I will give you everlasting consolation. Little widow, 10,000 years from now, God will still be consoling you for having been a widow here on this earth. Child with cancer, 10,000 years from now, God will still be consoling you and reminding you of the child and the heartbreak that the cancer of that child brought to your life. Moms and dads and boys and girls who are ill, look, everlasting consolation. Dear friends, did you know that in heaven, everlasting, 10,000 years from now, God will still be giving you consolation because you could not hear here on earth. After your ears have been unstopped and you've heard angelic choirs sing and you've heard me preach and heard Paul preach and heard John the Baptist preach and heard Mrs. Idson sing and heard the choir sing and heard the beautiful songs you never got to hear, 10,000 years after your ears have been unstopped, God will still be consoling you because you couldn't hear for 70 down here on this earth. Boy, that's a wonderful thing to me. I mean, God never will stop consoling us. It's continuum. Young lady, in a wheelchair. In a wheelchair. You will someday get up from that wheelchair. And your legs will be like, be strong and glorified, even as our Savior. And no longer you roll on artificial wheels. But a long time after you have jumped and ran through heaven and run through heaven and shout his praises and leap like a hart in the meadow for 10,000 years, God will not forget that you were crippled while you were here on this earth. And one of the greatest things about heaven is that God will always be consoling us. Did you know? God said, I remember 2 million years ago on earth, I remember that you had a tough time in college. Or I remember that during the recession, you lost your job, but you didn't lose your faith. You didn't stop soul winning. You didn't stop your praying. You didn't stop coming to church. You didn't stop serving me. And God will say, I want to console you 2 million years later for the time that you had it tough down there on the earth. Everlasting consolation. You know, God's attributes and deeds never end. And you will get more attention in heaven than you get on earth because of the suffering and the pain and adversity that you endured on earth. Let's hear. The Bible says his mercy endureth forever. Now, would you pray tell me why in the world God's mercy is going to do, what good it's going to do for God to have mercy in heaven? Nobody sins there. But his mercy endureth forever. In heaven, God will still say, I forgave you, didn't I? Yeah, I made you a child, didn't I? In heaven, God will still say, you still got no mercy. But Lord, I don't sin anymore. I know, but you did, didn't you? And I gave my mercy to you. His mercy endureth forever. Give another verse. Exodus 40, verse 15 says, talks about the everlasting priesthood. Now get that. Everlasting priesthood. This morning, while I stand behind this pulpit, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, sitting there as my priest. That's why I don't need the fellow across the street. That's why I don't need El Papa. Don't need him. I got La Papa. I have a priest. Already have one. I have a high priest. I don't need one sinner to confess my sin. I need a sinless one as my advocate. Wait a minute. It's not just I don't just have a priest till I die and go to heaven. It's an everlasting priesthood. I mean, listen, up in heaven someday, it just may be that God will be reminded that I was a sinner down here on earth. And Jesus will say, Father, don't forget my blood. Don't forget my blood. And not only is he my priest now, he ever liveth now as my intercessor, making intercession for me. He is my priest, but 10 million years from now, Jesus will still be my priest in heaven, an everlasting priesthood, not just so I can get to heaven, but ensure the fact that I stay there. For just as sure as my getting to heaven is by his vicarious death and his... By the way, let me say this. We don't say enough about the resurrection of Christ. We don't. You see, we are saved, of course, by the vicarious death of Christ, but we are justified because he rose from the dead. And we don't say enough about that. I mean, if all Jesus was the Lamb, and I thank God for the song a while ago, but thank God for more than the Lamb. The Lamb, that takes care of paying for our sins, but the risen Christ is our priest. And he is the one who, as the risen Christ, keeps me saved. I am saved by his life. Well, that priesthood is an everlasting priesthood. He'll always be reminding God that I got there by grace. He'll always be. That's one reason why he'll always have the nails in his hands. I won't have my scars. I have a scar on my leg, my shin here. It's about that long, I guess. And I was playing football one time in the street. Don't ever play football in the street. When I was running out to catch a pass. And I was looking at the pass. I wasn't watching the car that was coming my way. And my leg hit on the bumper of the car. We couldn't afford to go to the doctor. And it should have had 100 stitches, but we couldn't afford to. And so it just healed in a little tissue paper skin. For a quarter, I'll show you this leg after the service. You'll come by the office. And now that scar will not be there when I get to heaven. But the scars will be in Jesus' hand. And the scar will be in his side. And the scar will be in his feet. Why? Because he's the everlasting priest. He will always be reminding the Father that I got there by grace. He'll always be reminding the Father that he paid my penalty for sin. And right now he's at the right hand of the Father, my priest. But not a priest till I die, and not a priest till he comes. It is an everlasting priesthood. I'll give another verse. Psalm 112:6. Righteousness in everlasting remembrance. God will never forget what I've done for him here. Never will. He always remembers what I've done. Now, we don't do that. With us, it's what have you done for me lately? But with God, listen. For example, Romans 1:14 says, we are debtors. I am debtor. Now, that little term debtor there, Doc, is in the linear. I am debtor. I am. I'm being debtor. I always will be debtor. I never will completely pay my debt. Let me illustrate. My sister, when she's older than I, of course it's obvious to anybody that sees us both. But I always tell how much older she is, because otherwise you'd think more than that. But I'm not talking about her looking old. I just look so awful young. That's what it is. But now, as a boy, my daddy was a drunkard. My daddy did not work much of the time. My sister worked at Pollock Paper Company for $10 a week. That was the total salary. Every Saturday afternoon, she got paid. And every Saturday, she brought me home a baseball. They weren't real expensive. We couldn't afford them. But I'd always tear one up during the week. You'd knock the cover off the ball. I would knock the cover off the ball. And then you'd take some tar, and wrap the tar around the ball. And then you'd knock the tar off the ball. And by that time, it was Saturday. Every Saturday, my sister bought me a new ball and often a new bat. Every Saturday. Every stitch of clothes I wore, my sister bought me. The first bicycle I ever owned, Western Flyer, bought at Western Auto Store, cost $20. First bicycle ever owned, my sister bought me. Paid it out $1 a week. She bought me. Every baseball glove I had as a boy, my sister bought me. Now, wait a minute. She was a young lady, 17, 18 years of age. But she was engaged to get married. And she had a hope chest. But she bought her kid brother a baseball every week and a bat, and I needed a glove, bought him a glove, and bought my first bicycle. Well, you said, well, how is it? Did you ever pay her back for it? I am paying her back for it. And I will continue to pay her back for it. If she never did one single thing for me since then, and I don't think she has, but if she never did one single thing for me since then, and if she never does another thing for me, 47 years ago, I became indebted to her. And I aim to pay that debt. And I aim to keep it. And I will owe her that debt forever. Listen, listen. You say, I paid him back. I gave him what he deserved. I paid him back. No, sir. Once you, somebody, does a favor for you, that is an everlasting debt. I am debtor and am debtor and am debtor and am debtor. And I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to pay my debt. My mother. I won't go into that again, but you know what my mother did for me when I was a boy. And I'll guarantee you as long as she breathes a breath, I'll be paying on my debt. And after she's gone, if anybody belongs to her, needs anything, I'll pay on my debt. Down at the Bill Rice Ranch this morning, there lies the body of my friend John Rice. That old man did an awful lot for me. Awful lot for me. He trusted me when nobody else knew me. I was a kid preacher in Texas. He put me on nationwide conferences when I was 29 years of age. I'd lay some eggs big enough to hatch twin dinosaurs from, but he'd try me again. Try me again. And he stuck with me through thick and thin. I owe him a debt. He's gone, by the way, all time he's living. I paid on that debt. Mrs. Rice told me the other day most of the suits that he had in his closet when he died, Dr. Howells bought for him. Mrs. Rice told me that most of the overcoats he had, Brother Hiles bought for him. I got a letter the other day from one of his family, and they said, Brother Hiles, how can we ever repay you for what you've done for Daddy? I'm paying a debt. And I paid it. When I saw a hole in his shoe, I bought him a pair of shoes. Or if I saw a frayed coat, I bought him a coat. If I saw his tea glass was half empty, I filled his glass, and I watched him for those years, 22 years of traveling with him. Now he's gone. But I'm still paying my debt. I have an everlasting debt to pay. That little woman that carried you in her own womb for 9 months, I don't care if she never does a single thing for you but go to the jaws of death so you're alive! I get so weary at my soul of hearing little punk kids say, and I'm bitter against my mother. I don't care what your mother did. If she went to the jaws of hell to give you life, you owe her a debt. My mom and dad never told me they loved me. Well, I wish they had told you they loved you, but probably with your attitude, I wouldn't have told you either. But if all she ever did... was get up at night and warm your bottle and change your diaper and feed you when you could not feed yourself and care for you when you could not care for yourself and bathe you when you could not bathe yourself. If that's all she ever did, you owe a debt. And that debt is more than little old Penny Annie. I'm bitter against my mother. You're not showing your mother's weakness. You're showing your lack of character. God loves me with an everlasting love. He consoles me with everlasting consolation. He intercedes for me with everlasting priesthood. And He never forgets my righteousness, what I've done for Him. He'll always remind me. I've not given much for Christ. God knows I've not. I sometimes wish that maybe I could have lived in the days of the catacombs. I sometimes wish that maybe I could have lived in the days of the Colosseum. I sometimes wish I could have lived in the days when God's people fled for their lives in the persecutions. I've not done much for Him. But I'll guarantee you one thing. As long as I'm in glory, God's going to say to me, I appreciate you traveling so much for me. I appreciated the flights and the motels, the nights alone. I appreciate that. He always remembers. Oh, let me say this morning. I want to be like him. And if he never forgets the good, I love this, he forgets the bad things, but never will forget the good things. In heaven, I'll say, Lord, remember what a scoundrel I was? He said, no, I forgot. God's got a good case of amnesia. Never, he never. Doesn't remember. He remembers our sins no more. They're behind his back. They're as deep as the deepest sea, as far as the east is from the west. But as sure as God forgets our sins, because they're beneath the blood of Christ, he never forgets the things we do for him that are good. One of these days, after we've been there for several thousand years, the Lord's going to walk by. Little lady here this morning, numbers of you. He's going to say, I want to talk to you for a while. You have a few thousand years you could spare this morning. The Lord's going to walk up to the little lady here this morning. The Lord's going to say, remember that little apartment you lived in Hammond? Huh? Remember the rats? Yeah, he said, I remember the big one. He was going to college. Lord's going to say, remember that apartment? You're going to say, oh, Lord, it's a little different from this. Oh, boy. Lord's going to say, I haven't forgotten either. I haven't forgotten him. Steve Huckins sang in my class this morning. Lord will never forget in heaven. He'll never quit consoling Mr. and Miss Huckins because a little boy that passed away as a child, a little infant boy passed away. The Lord will never quit consoling John Penley. The Lord will never quit consoling. You know, I want to be like him, and I try so hard to remember. This morning as I passed out the bread, once again, I saw Blandford Duff's big old hand reaching to try to get a little piece of bread. This morning as we were sitting up here, I was holding the bread. I thought of Early Fields, who used to sit here. I thought of Bill Gifford. And for some reason this morning, my mind was on Mrs. Foreman and her husband, who was blind, no longer blind. He can see now. He's with Jesus. But I thought of Mrs. Foreman this morning and how lonely she must get. And I don't want to forget. I want to always, if your husband's been gone 20 years, I want to still feel consolation for you. If you did something for me 20 years ago, I want to always pay my debt to you. Because that's what God does. Everlasting consolation. He never forgets. He always remembers those things that on earth were painful. You get everlasting consolation. I love John Penley. John and Madeline. Years, I go say this occasionally. One night I was, John, back when the church was smaller, and good night, it's been many years ago now. John, Madeline's little boy, Danny, got leukemia. And one night over in the hospital in Chicago, the doctor said, as wee hours of the morning, said, he won't make it through the night. And John picked up little Danny and said, Danny, the doctor says you're going to heaven in a few minutes. Is there anything I could do for you? And that little 4-year-old boy said, Daddy, I'd like to see Brother Howe before I go to heaven. And I got in the car and drove across town in Chicago, picked up that little boy who wanted to see me. But John, I cut up a bit. I never forget that day I saw John and Madeline come by and look at that little boy's body. I never forget it. I can still see the sweet smile on their faces. Now, I too often forget. I was thinking this morning, I've forgotten her name. Little Stanley, Leanne Stanley. Was it Leanne? Little girl in our church. I never saw anybody suffer like Leanne did. She was over in a hospital in North Chicago. I remember on the way to the airport one day, I went by to see her.
And she was in a coma. And I walked in the room, and there was... my picture was on the front page of Christian Life magazine a few months before. And there was my picture on Leanne's little tummy and her hand on the picture, and she was in a coma. And I asked Mrs. Stanley and Brother Stanley, two lovely people, I said, what's that doing there? And she said, one of them said, when Leanne woke up from her coma, she said she wanted to see Brother Howes. And I said, Brother Howes is not here. And so we brought his picture, and she took the picture and placed it on her tummy and placed her hand over the picture. I never would drive down, what's the street, Earlene, beside where you live? Wentworth. Good night. Wake up, sister. you're dumb as I am. But I never drive down Wentworth Street without thinking about little Leanne Stanley. Look, folks, the church is big, and I wish I could be to everybody here what they need me to be, but I won't tell you this. If heart would do it, it's done. And if thinking about it would do it, it's done. I'm not going to forget if I can help it. I'm going to go out that cemetery and look at those graves and stand over those markers, and I'm going to remember. I'm going to get out my old list of deacons that I keep, and I'm going to look at it. I'm not going to forget those men that stayed with me. I'm not going to forget the man whose name is on this pulpit right here. Up here at St. Margaret's Hospital. Dying. As this tutor came in, Brother Tutor said, I'm going to heaven. You better watch what you're doing while I'm gone. I'll be looking at you. He said, you behave yourself. We wee hours of the morning. Nurse came in, said Mr. Tudor, said, you're dying. Said, you think we ought to call the priest? And that dying man looked up, one of our good deacons, and he said, I am a priest. And she said, you mean you're a holy father? He said, no, but I'm a priest. He said, I'm a priest of God. I don't need a priest with me. I am a priest. And I said, if you want to call my pastor and let him rejoice with me while I go to heaven, that'll be all right. I'm not going to forget that good man. I'm not going to forget Harley Dunsworth and those good men with me that stuck with me in years gone by. I'm not going to forget them. I'm not going to do it. If God will help me and if my self-discipline can keep my mind clear, I'm not going to do it. But if I do, there's one whose consolation is everlasting. There's one who will always keep rewarding you for anything you've done for him. He'll never forget it. Then there's one who will always in heaven be your priest. An everlasting consolation. An everlasting remembrance of our righteousness. And an everlasting priesthood. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. It won't be long till all of us will be there. It won't be long. I remember Harley Dunsworth at the meeting we had where the deacons met with me over 24 years ago. He said, Preacher, Brother Howes, if you came here, what would you do for the morning services of the church? And I said, I'd make them sort of like a Billy Sunday campaign. He said, amen, amen. Harley Dunsworth was the best horseshoe pitcher in our church. I pitched horseshoes against him 100 times, never beat him. And then one time I beat him. I never pitched him again. Never pitched him again. I said, I'm retiring undefeated like Rocky Marciano did. He said, come on, one more game. No, come on, one more game. And if they get bitter in heaven, he's up there right now complaining about it. But he's got some golden horseshoes, and as soon as I get there, I'll bind you one thing. The Lord's going to command me to pitch horseshoe game against him. I'm going to let him win. Lest I forget, this morning we sat at the Lord's table, and we remembered Jesus. We have to be reminded, but as long as the holy city exists, as long as the land of the cloudless day exists, our God will continue consoling us for burdens.
You say nobody understands. Nobody understands. Nobody comforts me.
Well, don't fret about it. In a few years, you get comforted every day by Jesus forever about it. Don't fret about it. Oh, they tell me of a land far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. We used to sing it. No, Sister Johnson, church I used to go to as a kid, we'd sing that. She'd always get happy and shout. She'd come walking down the aisle and hug everybody. I always dreaded it when she got to me. She was well upholstered, sort of heavy set. And the preacher, Brother McElroy, he sang not quite as good as I can sing, but sort of the same type. And he used to sing an awful lot. Awful lot. I could hear him as he'd lead the crowd sing without the piano. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. And we'd sing in the sweet by, and Sister Johnson would come unscrewed, start hugging everybody, including me. I never understood her then. I understand now. I understand. Everlasting priesthood. He'll always be my priest. Everlasting remembrance of my righteous deeds. He'll always be bragging on me for something I did millions of years ago. And everlasting consolation. He'll always be consoling me. He'll say to Mrs. Rose forever, sorry I had to take Henry before I took you. Pretty tough on you, wasn't it? 10,000 years later, Jesus say, well, Mrs. Rose, I'm sorry I had to take Henry before I took you. 10 million years later, Mrs. Rose, I'm sorry I had to take Henry before I took you. Everlasting consolation. Our Father bless the truth.